News of the Church. Members touched by historic conference. In a historic meeting on September 12, 2004, President Gordon B. Hinckley spoke by satellite broadcast from Salt Lake City to more than 23,000 Latter-day Saints gathered at stake and district conferences in about 35 meeting houses across Venezuela and on islands including the Netherlands, Antilles, and Aruba. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and Elder H. Aldridge Gillespie of the 70 also addressed the conferences. President Hinckley told the saints that as a young boy he would often look into the night sky to find the North Star. From looking at that star, I learned a great lesson, which has remained with me throughout my life, he said. I learned that there are fixed and constant points by which we may guide our lives. He encouraged members to use unchanging gospel truths the same way in their own lives. Each congregation had a few minutes to open its individual conference, pray, sing, and conduct stake business before receiving the transmission from church headquarters. After the transmission, the congregations closed their meetings with a hymn and a prayer. Venezuelan saints felt the significance of the broadcast, both on a personal level and as a momentous event for that nation's membership as a whole. 13-year-old Marcel Farias of La Isabelica Ward, Valencia, Venezuela, Candelaria Stake, a recent convert in Valencia, said President Hinckley's words were special to him. What affected me most about his message was the great love he feels for us, the members of the church in Venezuela. To know that the Lord is concerned for each one of us and has chosen prophets to help us strengthen our faith will have a marvelous effect on our members, said Bishop Julio Marquez of the Palo Verde Ward, Caracas, Venezuela, Palo Verde Stake. The satellite transmission, said Freddy Gudez of the Tokyo-Yito Ward, Valencia, Venezuela, Candelaria Stake, is a unique and unprecedented event in the history of the church in Venezuela. Alexis Yuripero, president of the Porlamar, Venezuela district, said the conference proved to him that the prophet and the other leaders have their eyes on Venezuela. Church provides hurricane relief. Four major hurricanes passed through islands in the Caribbean and parts of the United States in the months of August and September 2004, damaging homes and businesses and killing close to 1,700. Following hurricanes Charley, Francis, Ivan, and Jean, the church and its members reacted quickly to bring relief to those of many faiths. The church sent more than 1.5 million pounds, 680,000 kilograms of food, 350,000 hygiene kits, and 400,000 items of clothing in 70 semi-truck loads. By mid-October, members had donated more than 310,000 hours of labor during cleanup and other relief efforts. Hurricane Charley. On Friday, August 14th, Hurricane Charley slammed ashore in southwest Florida as a Category 4 hurricane, with winds up to 180 miles per hour, 290 kilometers per hour. At least 16 people were killed, hundreds were injured, and approximately 1,500 were left homeless. Millions went without power for as long as 2 weeks or more. No church members were reported killed or injured by the storm, but several were displaced from their homes. At least 7 meeting houses were damaged. The church and its members were quick to respond, organizing or participating in relief efforts in areas affected by the storm. Hurricane Francis. Hurricane Francis brought 125 mile an hour, 200 kilometers per hour winds through the Bahamas and into Florida only a few weeks after Charley struck. 14 people were reported dead, none of whom were church members. More than 3 million were without power after the storm. About 53,000 people stayed in emergency shelters. Close to a dozen church buildings were damaged. The Orlando, Florida temple was undamaged. Many disaster response agencies were already depleted or still recovering from Hurricane Charley. but the church set up temporary bishop storehouses inside a number of meeting houses within the disaster area. Supplies were transported from Utah and Georgia. Approximately 100,000 hygiene kits were distributed, and members continued to help with cleanup around the state. Hurricane Ivan. On September 7th, the Category 4 Hurricane Ivan tore through the small island of Grenada. Winds of 145 miles per hour, 230 kilometers per hour, left 90% of the island's buildings damaged or uninhabitable. At least 39 people died, and 40,000 were in temporary shelters. The storm brushed the islands of Barbados, Trinidad, and Tobago, and St. Vincent before arriving in Jamaica as a Category 5 storm with winds of 160 miles an hour, 260 kilometers per hour. Jamaica suffered 15 deaths, and 8,000 people were left in shelters. The next day, Ivan battered the Cayman Islands as the eye of the storm passed just offshore. Two died, and 50% of the island's homes were left uninhabitable. The storm caused heavy damage in Alabama and Florida. In the United States, 52 deaths were attributed to Ivan, and more than 440,000 homes were left without power for days. No missionaries or members were hurt in any of the affected locations. The church and its members again responded to the need for relief. Humanitarian donations of hygiene kits, canned goods, food boxes, and medical supplies were sent from bishop storehouses in Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas. Supplies were airlifted to Grenada, Jamaica, and Grand Cayman. In Florida, priesthood leaders coordinated a major volunteer response. Many church members came from hundreds of miles away to help meet members' needs. Meeting houses became shelters and/or distribution points for relief supplies, not only from the church, but from other relief agencies as well. Hurricane Jean. The Caribbean didn't have long to recover from Hurricane Ivan before Hurricane Jean struck. On September 18th, the storm hit Haiti, which sustained the greatest loss of life in any of the areas hit by the storms. At press time, more than 1,500 people were reported killed, and another 900 people were missing in the small country located on the island of Hispaniola. One of those killed was a 70-year-old man who was a member of the church. No missionaries were serving in the areas hit hardest. They had been evacuated earlier in the year due to political unrest in the area. Hundreds of thousands were left homeless in the cities of Gonaives, Port de Paix, and Terranuve. 800 church members were displaced. The majority of the damage occurred in Gonaives, where 80% of the area remained underwater days after the storm's landfall. The city's meeting house was flooded with several feet of water and mud. In the city of St. Mark, approximately 150 members were living in tents next to the local meeting house. Local church leaders responded to members' needs with the distribution of relief items and fast offering funds. 16 pallets of essential emergency items were airlifted to Haiti, and 13 40-foot, 12-meter containers of clothing, shoes, blankets, and hygiene kits were sent from the church's humanitarian center. The Red Cross requested grief counselors to help many of the people. Church Welfare Services sent 10 counselors to help those who had lost everything to cope with their circumstances and find hope for the future. After devastating Haiti, the storm moved on to Florida, making landfall on September 26th. No state in the U.S. has endured four hurricanes in a single season in more than 100 years. However, Jean was the fourth to hit Florida in 2 months, following Charley on August 13th, Francis on September 5th, and Ivan on September 16th. Many Florida cities were in the path of multiple storms. The death toll in the U.S. for all four storms was 91. New temple presidents and matrons begin service. 52 new temple presidents recently began 3-year terms of service with their wives. Most of the couples began their service on November 1, 2004. Temple, Abba Nigeria, President and Matron, Jerry V. and Joanne O'Kirk. Anchorage, Alaska, Gary E. and Joyce S. Cox. Atlanta, Georgia, Jim David and K. Caroline Eckhard. Birmingham, Alabama, John Reed and Deanne H. Giles. Caracas, Venezuela, David Craig and Diane T. Hoops. Chicago, Illinois, Glenn Allen and Betty J. Hansen. Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, Ashton Harvey and Naomi H. Taylor. Cochabamba, Bolivia, David Evans and Sylvia L. Haywood. Colonia Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico, John Bretnell and Ellen L. Robinson. Columbia River, Washington, Earl J. and Rayola Wheelwright. Columbus, Ohio, Don Lee and Darlene T. Tobler. Copenhagen, Denmark, D. Valentine and K. P. Jacobs. Dallas, Texas, Philip Hickborn and Peggy J. Bessie Lierre. Denver, Colorado, Grant Elgren and Edith R. Marsh. Detroit, Michigan, David Ray and Bonnie L. Schertz. Edmonton, Alberta, Robert Stephen and Belva E. Patterson. Frankfurt, Germany, Richard Woolley and Kathleen M. Fetzer. Fresno, California, Charles Allen and Ann Kropf. Guadalajara, Mexico, Robert Savage and Kathleen Gabadas. Halifax, Nova Scotia, Byron Ronald and Zelma Christensen. Hamilton, New Zealand, James Anthony and Tapua Morley. Hong Kong, China, Wok Yuen and Hui Hua Floratai. Johannesburg, South Africa, Lewis and Rena Gruenwald. Laia, Hawaii, Wayne Octave and Bernice O. Ersenbach. Lima, Peru, Royden John and Rebecca B. Glade. London, England, Roland Edward and Barbara J. Elvidge. Los Angeles, California, Richard Morris and Darlene A. Andrus. Louisville, Kentucky, James Wayne and Karen L. Hansen. Lubbock, Texas, Thomas Scott and Marion Hendricks. Manhattan, New York, John Roger and Helen B. Stone. Medford, Oregon, Jean B. and Carol L. Welling. Melbourne, Australia, Graham Edward and Marie L. Cray. Memphis, Tennessee, John Richard and Carol K. Thorderson. Mérida, Mexico, Carol LeVon and Jean S. Call. Monterrey, Mexico, Jesus and Adelpha A. Santos. Nashville, Tennessee, Billy Joe and Marianne Eves. Nauvoo, Illinois, David Bittner and Ann Worthlin. Orlando, Florida, Blaine W. and Jeanette Johnson. Perth, Australia, John Anthony and Vicky T. Grinseri. Portland, Oregon, Nicholas Perry and Susan R. Collins. Provo, Utah, Carl William and Carolyn S. Bacon. Raleigh, North Carolina, Grady Lynn and Genevieve B. Barnes. Reno, Nevada, Oris Lorenzo and Alice A. Corbridge. Santiago, Chile, Julio Humberto and Maria Jaramillo. Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Edward Harry and Joanne A. Peterson. Seattle, Washington, Denzel Nolan and Beverly M. Weiser. Spokane, Washington, Farrell Newren and Joyce L. Binns. St. George, Utah, Harold Harrison and Mona E. Hiskey. St. Paul, Minnesota, Thomas Albert and Bonnie A. Holt. Tampico, Mexico, Ricardo and Maria Torres. Tuxtla Gutierrez, Mexico, Wilbur Thane and Carol R. Wagner. Winter Quarters, Nebraska, Robert B. and Renee Harbertson. World leaders visiting Utah to learn about church. World leaders are recognizing the need to learn more about the church as they become aware of the presence of a growing religion in their area, or notice the good works the church is doing through its humanitarian arm. Two leaders recently made separate visits to Salt Lake City to tour Temple Square and learn more about the church. Kyrgyzstan's President and First Lady, Askar Akayev and Maryam Akaeva, President and First Lady of Kyrgyzstan, toured Temple Square and attended the live broadcast of Music in the Spoken Word on September 26, 2004. They also visited with church leaders. While in Utah, President Akayev and First Lady Akaeva received honorary degrees from Utah Valley State College in Orem, Utah. They were recognized for their contributions to the world community. The couple has helped build orphanages, children's schools, and centers for those with special needs. Chile's First Lady. Chile's First Lady, Luisa Duran de Lagos, visited Salt Lake City on September 21, 2004, to personally thank the church for the many humanitarian efforts taking place in her country. Mrs. Duran de Lagos met and talked with the First Presidency before touring the Humanitarian Center. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles gave the tour, ending it with a presentation of a gift, 600 computers donated by Brigham Young University for schoolchildren in Chile. "I came here because I wanted to personally thank the church for what it has given us," she said. "We have received from the church assistance with Chile Solidario, a program designed to help Chile's poorest families arise from poverty." In the news, 3 missions in the northern part of Luzon in the Philippines have been reorganized to create a 4th mission, the Philippines Layog Mission. The Iligan, Banguo, and Olongapo missions, with a combined estimated population of 7.6 million residents, were reconfigured to create the Layog Mission, the 14th mission in the Philippines. The mission will be headquartered in Layog, located on the northwestern tip of the island. The new mission was created in October, making it the 338th mission of the church. About 18,910 members reside in the Layog Mission. Stakes within the mission include Batac, Layog, and Narvacan districts, include Apare, Ballesteros, Banguid, Bangui, and Vigan. Jerry W. Hatch of the Idaho Falls 7th Ward, Idaho Falls North Stake, has been called to preside over the new mission. He will be accompanied by his wife, Marilyn K. Hatch. At the time of their call, they were serving as senior missionaries in the Philippines area. Adapted from Church News, September 25, 2004. Nativity Festival helps saints to share the gospel. Church members in St. George, Utah, know many ways to remember Christ during the Christmas season, and one way is to provide an opportunity for others to learn more about Him and His church. For the past 4 years, members have invited the community to a Nativity Festival to be held this year on December 3rd and 4th at the Green Valley Stake Center. The festival has grown every year, with almost 2,000 visitors viewing the displays last year. At this year's festival, more than 100 paintings and 500 nativities from around the world will be on display. One nativity was made from mud and dried in the sun by children in Africa. The fingernail marks used to create the eyes and mouths of the figures are visible. A nativity from Russia is made of brightly colored hand-painted wooden figures. Another shows Mary and the Christ child dressed in Chinese silk. Young single adults hold conference in Poland. Some 65 church members from throughout the country met in Zakopane, Poland, on September 3rd through the 5th, 2004, for the second All-Poland Young Single Adult Conference. They enjoyed both recreation and gospel learning activities. Friday afternoon included time to explore Krupauki Street, a tourist attraction in this internationally known ski resort city. Saturday included a brief visit to historical sites and a conference session that took place during a hike into nearby Tatrazan Ski National Park. In a meeting on Saturday evening, they heard counsel from Poland Warsaw Mission President David J. Barnett. On Sunday, the conference ended with a fast and testimony meeting. Share joy to the world this Christmas season. This issue of the Ensign includes a sheet of pass-along cards offering the Church's Joy to the World DVD. The DVD includes the story of Christ's birth as experienced in both Jerusalem and the Americas, music by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and an introduction to the restoration of the gospel through the prophet Joseph Smith. Those who call the toll-free number on the card will be given the option of having the DVD delivered to them by mail or by missionaries who will also share a message about the Savior. When giving the pass-along cards, allow enough time for delivery of the DVD. Copies of Joy to the World and additional pass-along cards are also available through local distribution centers. Calls for Articles. Christmas. What did you do to draw closer to the Savior? Did you serve others? Did someone serve you? Please share your experience with readers of the church magazines. Send them by February 1, 2005 to Christmas Experiences, Ensign Editorial, 24th Floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, USA, or to cur-editorial-ensign@ldschurch.org. Please include your name, address, telephone number, email address, and ward and stake or branch and district. Modesty. Dressing modestly is a challenge in today's world. How do you make sure that your everyday wear, exercise clothing, or formal wear is modest? How have you promoted modesty in your family, ward or stake, or branch or district? Please send your comments by January 17, 2005, to Modesty, Ensign Editorial, 24th Floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, USA, or to cur-editorial-ensign@ldschurch.org. Clearly mark your submission, Modesty, and include your name, address, telephone number, email address, and ward and stake or branch and district. End of the section, News of the Church.